The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Well, whether it's getting out of debt, working on a relationship, or maybe even going back to school, you know you only get one life. Well, what are you doing with yours? It's time to start living life on purpose. Pick up your copy of Seize the Day to learn how.
Be the first to read Joyce's new book, Seize the Day. Pre-order your copy today.
And I want to tell you, you can live by the natural and you will do pitifully very little in your life, but you can live by faith and you can do impossible things and God will prove himself strong in your life. How many of you know what your soul is? Yeah, not everybody raised their hand. Well, you know, I was probably in my 40s before I realized what mine was. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body, a tripart being. And when we're born again, God comes to live and dwell in our spirit man. And God can't live anywhere that's not clean and holy, so he makes everything in our spirit right. That's why the Bible calls us saints and holy and says we've been made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. It's everything that he's put in our spirit. We have the fruit of the Spirit in there. Do you know that deep in your spirit, if you are born again, you have love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, meekness, gentleness, humility, and self-control. And so when we say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, we're talking about that God has given us as a gift and put in our spirit. And you can even say, I'm patient. I have self-control. Because you do have it. You may not be using it yet. And I'm kind of like the coach that helps you learn how to use it. And so God wants everybody in the world and everybody that we deal with to see coming through our lives the good things that he's done in us and the good things they can have through a relationship with him. But if our soul, which is kind of the part between our spirit and our body, if the soul is all clogged up with junk, and the soul is not brought under the control of the spirit. See, you can be a Christian and still have your soul controlled by the flesh. But we can learn, and that's what our journey is all about, to be honest. We're all on a journey of learning and becoming and changing and growing and maturing. So we're learning how to let the soul be controlled by the spirit man. And when we take in the word, and it's not just about reading a chapter a day whether you need to or not. It really, you could sit in every meeting that I do for the rest of your life. But if you don't really lock in and pay attention and kind of like eat that word and take it into you, even that won't do you a whole lot of good. Because we've got information, and we don't need more information. We need revelation. Things need to become real to us. Amen? But when you really take the word in, and I love how the Amplified Bible puts it in Psalms and some places in Proverbs, he says that we are to hear the word, love the word, receive the word, and do the word. So when we do the full package and we take that in, our spirit man, now stick with me, gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And when we stop feeding our flesh, which means letting it have its way all the time. Hello. When we stop feeding our flesh, giving into it all the time, then it gets weaker and weaker and weaker. And before long, our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions, are being controlled by the spirit. And we learn how to think right, We learn that even though we feel something, we don't have to always do what we feel because we have become something. And our will, we can use our free will to do the will of God, and that's what He wants us to do. Come on, give God a praise. So tonight we're going to talk about soul control. Learning to control your soul. Father, I thank You for the word tonight. Please help me. I always want to do a good job for You, and I want people to receive this, and I want it to be life-changing in Jesus' name. Luke 21:19. By your steadfastness and patient endurance, you shall win the true life of your souls. You know, there's so many scriptures we just read for years and don't get them at all. So let's slow down and think about that. By your steadfastness and your patient endurance, that means to patiently go through things. I always say there's a beginning of everything, there's a middle, and there's an end. And you know, we don't mind the beginning. It's kind of exciting. There's emotions to go along with it. Woohoo! I'm going to be a mature Christian. Woo-hoo. Yes, Lord, give me patience. You pray that till you learn better. Then, when you've been walking with the Lord about 30 years, you think it over before you pray for patience, because you know that you need to pray for patience, because you need God to help you, but you know what you're going to get when you do it. It's like saying, teach me humility. So only the really brave believers pray for stuff like that and mean it. So it's easy to pray for something like that. And boy, it's sweet when you get over here to the point where you are patient, or you are humble, or you are kind. But you see, the sad thing is a lot of people never make it through the middle. So it's patient endurance. Now, if you hang on long enough, I'm going to tell you that there is a reward for the patient. There's a payback, so to speak. And I don't mean that to sound weird, but I believe that we need to know that there's going to be a reward. It's difficult to do difficult things if you don't know that there's going to be some kind of a reward at the end. Who would even want to go to work every day if you were never going to get a paycheck? And so God really does give out paychecks. It may not be in dollars, but God, He gives us joy. He gives us peace. He gives us righteousness. He takes care of us. We bear good fruit. There's all kinds of great payoffs for obeying God. And there's a really cool one that the Bible talks about regarding patience, but I'm not going to give it to you yet. I just do want you to know, though, if you put up with what I'm going to say tonight, and you go home and you start to say, okay, God, I want that, there's going to be a good payoff at the end. In patience possess ye your souls, is what one translation says. Well, let me just say, we will either learn to possess our souls or our souls will possess us. Now, you see, I lived a lot of years as a Christian, never hearing teaching like this. All I ever heard was doctrinal things, and we all need good, sound, solid doctrine. But we need to know about this soul stuff. We need to understand some of our emotions. I'm going to teach on that tomorrow night. Understanding your emotions. Won't that be fun? Because we've all got them. So, and you know, we're all like, I don't understand why I feel like this. You tell, you know, if you're a woman and you tell a man how you feel, like, he's like, well, why would you feel like that? So, thank God he understands. Amen. So either we're going to learn to possess our soul, which means to manage it according to the Spirit, or it's going to possess us, which means my mind, my unrenewed mind is going to run my life, my emotions are going to run my life, and I will not be able to be happy if I don't get every single thing that I want. It's my mind, my will, and my emotions that are ruling me instead of me ruling them. And I'm quite sure that some of you are still in that condition, and I can tell you, you're not very happy. Well, you're not. Impatience is in our flesh, but patience is in our spirit. Luke 8:15. I actually want to read you five scriptures. I want you to look at them about patience. Luke 8:15, but as for that seed in the good soil, these are the people who hear the word, hold it fast in a just, noble, virtuous, and worthy heart, and steadily bring forth fruit with patience. So what does steadily bring forth fruit? It means keep it up, 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 little by little, day after day, keep it up, keep it up, keep it up, keep it up, never give up, keep it up, keep it up. When you laugh, I'll shut up, okay? Now, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Well, we're not going to look at all of it. They don't have to put it all up, but I'm going to read you. This is what we call the faith hall of fame. You ever heard that terminology, the faith hall of fame? Well, chapter 11 in Hebrews is about the great things that people have done by faith. And faith is the leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness. And faith is also the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of the things we do not see and the conviction that they are real. So I have faith until I have a manifestation. In other words, I can have it in my heart so strongly that nobody can take it away from me long time before I ever see it with my natural eyes. I feel that way about spending eternity with God. Haven't been there yet. But God plants eternity in our hearts, the Bible says. And so we have this sensing in us that there's more than this life, and we are living our life for this thing that we have never seen, but we believe it so strongly that we will give our life for it, and many people will die for it. Now, that's what faith in God is, or faith in Jesus is, but He wants us to live by faith. He wants us to have that kind of faith in every single area of our lives. See, I didn't know that for a lot of years. I believed in Jesus, but the rest of what I believed was mostly just stupid. I didn't believe things could ever change in my life. I didn't trust any. You know, how many of you know what I'm talking about? How many people do you think march off to church every week and they believe in Jesus, but if you start checking their believing, all of their believing is wrong in every other area of their life? So even if you're believing something wrong, it's still your reality. See, I believed because I'd been abused in my childhood sexually that I would always have a second-class, second-rate life, that I would always be kind of messed up. Well, that was just a lie that Satan had told me, but nobody ever told me different, so I believed the lie when I could have had the truth. So that's faith. By faith, you can do unbelievable things. When I look back at my life, I do not know how I got from where I started to where I'm standing tonight. I mean, I could look back and say, I remember the things I did and this and that and something else, but this is strictly a by faith thing. It's just by faith. By faith. And I wish people today knew more about faith. It seems like today everybody wants assurances. You know, sometimes we're hiring new people. One of the things they'll ask is, well, you know, now Joyce is getting kind of old, so what kind of job security am I going to have? I mean, really, if you get right down to it, who has any job security any day of your life? You know, our security has got to be in God when we look to somebody else to give us assurances. So you got to be led by the Spirit. Are you supposed to be here? Or are you not supposed to be here? But see, people sometimes look at you like you're crazy if you say that you want to live like that. And I want to tell you, you can live by the natural and you will do pitifully very little in your life, but you can live by faith and you can do impossible things and God will prove Himself strong in your life. And so just, you know, just a quick run through. Man, when you get down, read Hebrews 11. I mean, prompted by faith, Abel gave a better sacrifice. Enoch was translated into heaven by faith. Just, boop, he's gone. It's impossible to please God without faith. Noah built an ark by faith. Abraham left the place that was his home and went to a place that God would show him by faith. Who does that? Leave your home. God says, okay, leave and go to the place that I will show you. Well, I'm like, well, you show me and I'll go. Sarah had a child when she was almost 100 years old. Do you understand, ladies? She had had the change of life and probably was not having hot flashes anymore. She was done. The whole deal was done. And she had a child. Well, let's just put it the way it is. Abraham offered his son by faith as a sacrifice, believing that God would provide. Isaac looked into the future and blessed Jacob. Joseph did great things by faith. Moses did great things by faith. On and on and on. They said there's so many that the book wouldn't be big enough to write it down. Then in chapter 12, verse 1, I kind of said all that to say this. It says, therefore then, because of chapter 11, because we're encouraged by their testimonies, therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, every unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. Okay, you can all quit watching the chair and watch me now. We're going to read it over. You're not going to miss it. Chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore then, since we are... Therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us... You know, there's a little bit of violent language in the Bible. Let us strip off and throw aside everything that holds us back from this life of faith that God wants us to have, and let us get rid of the sin that's holding us back. I mean, now that's just not like, well, Lord, I wish you'd make this go away. And let us run. Let us run, not park somewhere. Let us run. Let us run with patient endurance. There's my word. And steady, active persistence, the appointed course of the race that is set before us. I love what Paul said when it was near the end of his life. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. Boy, do I want that. Man, I mean, more than anything in my life, I've got this thing in me. I'm going to finish what God has given me to do. Amen? Who in the world wants to retire? I sure don't. Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and here comes the payoff, and thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what is promised. See? But that's not really the one I even want to tell you about. The one I really want to tell you about is really good. In Psalm 37, verse 7, be still and rest in the Lord. Wait for him and patiently lean yourself on him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Okay, what is patience? We cringe at the word. Do we even know what it is? Well, it means to wait, but it means so much more than to wait. Let me tell you something. You will wait. We spend more time in our life waiting on something than we do those moments when we receive and get all excited, because that gets over pretty quick, and then you start waiting on something else again. Took me about 40 years to figure that out, and I finally thought, I better improve my waiting game, because I did not wait well. So if you don't wait well, you're going to have a pretty miserable life. How many of you agree? You're always waiting on something. That's just part of life. And so he says, wait patiently. So patience is, it's more than waiting. It's the attitude that we wait with. Now, I want to get this. It's waiting with expectancy. Waiting with, wow, something good is going to happen. Maybe today my breakthrough is going to come. Today, my son may make a decision to get off of drugs. Today. You know, I learned something recently. I read this, and man, it just blew up in me. And this is so cool. It said, when we pray for people, what God does, God is so smart. What God does is he puts a thought in their head. So I can say, I pray for so-and-so to study the word. Well, then they may have this thought, you know, I probably should start studying the word. Well, now they still get a choice. You know, your prayers don't make somebody do something, but God puts thoughts in their mind of what you've prayed for. Then if they do it, they're silly enough to think it was their idea. Isn't that cool? And so we just need to leave it alone and let it be between them and God. And, you know, then when they come and tell you about their breakthrough, you don't even need to bother to say, I prayed for that. Me, I prayed for that. Just let them think it was them if you need to. But isn't that great? We pray for things, and God puts ideas. And a lot of times when we pray for something about ourselves, or for God to speak to us, he puts thoughts in our head. The Bible says that he will cause our thoughts to become agreeable to his will. Wow. So, we need to expect something good to happen. Expect something good is going to happen. Things can change at any minute. I'm waiting patiently. To wait on the Lord means to look and long for him to show up at any minute. So waiting on God is not just like, there's an inner expectancy. All right. James 5:7, so be patient, brethren, as you wait. Please notice it doesn't say if you wait. How many of you see that? Be patient as you wait till the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits, how? Expectantly. For the precious harvest from the land. Now this is important too. See how he keeps up his patient vigil over it until it receives the early and the late rain. So we all have a vigil that we need to keep up. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep confessing the word. I'm going to keep studying the word. I'm going to keep getting with other good people that can keep me encouraged. I'm going to keep giving into kingdom work. I'm going to keep being a blessing everywhere that I go. I'm going to keep trusting God. I'm going to keep rebuking the devil. You say, well, I've been doing that, and I'm so tired of doing that. Well, can I ask you a question? Do you really have anything better to do? I mean, have you got even one small bright idea that would be any better than just continuing on with God? Your only other choice is going back where you came from. Who in the world wants to do that? If you made it this far, don't go back where you started. Come on, God is good. Amen. Everybody say, I'm going through. So I am a very focused, a very determined person. And it's kind of a requirement for what I'm doing. But it also presents a constant challenge because I'm always getting interrupted. And I just want to think. When I've got a plan or a goal, and anyone or anything interrupts it or appears to be throwing it off course, I have to really try with a lot of prayer to be patient. And so I'm going to tell you a funny story. I was on my way to do a church service. And if there's anything I can't stand, it's to be late for my own stuff. I mean, when it starts, I want to be right over there paying attention to what's going on because I'm misresponsible. It's my deal. I want to make sure that it all goes right. And we got lots of good people, but I still want to be there. And, you should see if I get stuck in a traffic jam, it is like... Now, you know, I have some self-control, but it's like, it's a challenge. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There's certain situations that are just more challenging for you than others. Well, see, those are the ones we want to attack with God. And because you take ground one step at a time, okay? I'm really pretty patient with God now. Because I've kind of figured out I'm not going to make him hurry. So, I mean, I'm okay with that. You know, if he gives me what I want in a week, that's fine. If he gives it to me in 25 years, that has to be fine because you're not going to make God hurry. So I kind of chilled out with that one. But I still kind of try to control other stuff sometimes. So we're on our way to this church service. We got to pass these train tracks. Well, the train thingy board thing is down and the lights are flashing and no train, no train, no train, no train, no train, no train, no train. And the traffic's backing up, backing up, backing up. Now people start turning around, going the other direction, turning. So obviously something was wrong and the thing was down and there was no train. So we finally did a U-turn. And so now we're going to have to take this detour and go through all these streets we're not even sure about. And I'm like, I'm going to be late. I don't want to be late. And so Davis very generous in his driving in that he usually lets a lot of people in. So we're driving. I'm like wanting to get there. And I see this car inching out of this side street. And Dave started slowing down. And out of my mouth comes, Dave, this is no time to be nice. He said, no, we don't want to be nice. We're on our way to church. That would not be a good thing to be nice on your way to church. And it was so funny. So funny. So I want to be who I am. I love my personality. I love what I'm doing. I love my aggressive nature. So that means that I'm going to just keep working with God. And see, the good news is I know he loves me anyway. I'm not going to go to heaven because I'm patient, but I want to be fully patient because here comes the payoff. Are you ready for this? You're ready. You want this, don't you? Oh, my gosh. James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Now, you know, really, that's a great scripture, but nobody really does that. I mean, it's like, did you notice how quiet you were when I started reading that? Nobody cheered. Nobody clapped for this. Consider it joyful when you're in all kinds of tests and temptations and trials. Well, you can't be joyful about the trial, but what we're supposed to be able to do is to look by faith beyond what we're going through to what it's going to do for us spiritually. Because, see, you have to have the hard times to learn to control the soul. Good. 12 people are happy. All right. So be assured and understand that the trial and the proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. Well, how many of you, when you have trials, it brings out patience? You know what happened to me? It brought a whole bunch of other stuff out. Man, it brought stuff out of me. I mean, 30 and 40 years ago, woo! I mean, it would bring stuff out of me that I didn't even know was in there. And finally, we started getting around to a little more patience. And let me tell you, I am very patient in many. I'm patient when people make mistakes. I used to almost get hives over slow clerks. I mean, I can do a slow clerk now and stay happy. Don't you love it when you're in a grocery store line and they run out of tape and they run out of change and it's a new clerk and she doesn't know how to work the cash register and you are in a hurry? And you have your cross around your neck and you're supposed to make her feel good and you are like... That's our witness. Okay. So I got the slow clerk. God gave me slow clerks. I mean, I would pray about which line to get in at the grocery store, and I would still get in the one that was going to have trouble. So I've been there, done that. I can do a slow clerk. I can wait on God. I mean, I've grown. There's stuff I can do. But there's still stuff that I want to learn to do. How many of you are where I'm at? You can feel me tonight. Okay. We're going to get to the payoff. But let endurance and steadfastness, verse 4, but let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work. Here comes the payoff. So that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. Whoa! Oh my gosh. If we keep this up and we ever get to being fully patient, he says, look, you are going to lack nothing. Another translation says, wanting nothing. You know, the things that make us miserable are all the things that we want that we don't have. And so he says, you'll be so patient that, yeah, I mean, it's not even you're going to ask God for nothing, but you can ask God for things, and you're so full of trust that you know he'll give it to you at the right time so you can enjoy where you're at on the way to where you're going. Wouldn't that be cool? Okay, now, somebody with my personality, feels impatient when someone or something is hindering their progress. But someone with my personality also has usually a fair amount of discipline and self-control. So it kind of seems like with every deficit, you get a plus. And with every plus, you also get a little deficit. What does the Bible say? We've all got strengths and we've all got weaknesses. Now, I may feel impatient, but here's the thing that I've learned. If you don't get this, you're going to miss the whole thing I want to bring to you tonight. Feeling impatient is not a sin. It's being impatient. Come on. Actually, God's proud of us when we feel impatient and we use self-control because we love him. In other words, because we love him, because we love him, because we love him, we want to represent him well, so we no longer have the luxury of doing what we feel like doing all the time. And see, we have to learn that just because I feel something doesn't mean I have to do it. Hey, we got 3 meetings to go if you're here all weekend. And yes, I have a book for this too. It's called Living Beyond Your Feelings. We have to learn to own our feelings and not let them own us. So, and I think it's good to know, just because you feel angry, feeling angry is not a sin. It's staying angry and acting on that anger that becomes the sin. The Bible says, when you're angry, not if you get angry, when you're angry, do not let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, when you feel angry, work through it with God and get the thing over with so you can go to bed in peace. Hallelujah. People groan when they hear the word discipline and self-control. I'm going to teach tonight on discipline. Well, discipline is not your enemy. Discipline is your friend, because discipline is given to us by God to help us be what we want to do, do what we say we want to do, and have what we say we want to have, but never will have unless we operate in self-control. There's a whole list of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, humility, and self-control. You know what I think? Self-control is at the end because it holds all the others in place. How can I walk in love if I have no self-control? Because I'm going to run into days when I just flat out don't feel like loving. And I'm going to run into some people that aren't really very lovable. And how can I always be kind? And how can I always be humble? Self-control. 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 Don't ever say, I just don't have any self-control. If I eat one cookie, I have to eat the whole bag. Well, I mean, really, if you get right down to it, now that's just a little bit dumb. I mean, you are born again, full of the Holy Ghost. You have authority over the devil, and you can't take authority over a cookie? Well, if I eat one potato chip, I got to eat the whole bag. Okay, look, I'm going to tell you something. Mama wants to tell you something. You can do all things through Christ, who is your strength. And one of the first things that we have to do is stop saying, it's too hard. I can't, it's too hard. Woo, we're having fun tonight. At least I'm having fun, I don't know. Now, you have to develop the fruit of the Spirit. We develop abilities, and things are developed through exercise. So that's why when we pray for patience, God's got to give us a reason to have to be patient, because we can never develop greater patience if we don't have to use it. Did you get all that? Do I need to rewind? Rewind. Okay. When I pray for patience, I'm going to get an opportunity to have to be patient. If you pray to love everybody, you are going to get some unlovable people. You know, we pray all these spiritual prayers and we feel so holy about ourselves. Oh, Lord, I just want to do your will and live a sacrificial life and just, you know, I surrender everything to you, God, and I want to be patient and I want to love everybody. That's on Sunday, and Monday morning you're like, what is going on in my life? It didn't even do me any good to go to church. Yeah, you're getting just exactly what you prayed for, because you can't get what you prayed for until you start using the little bit that you've got. How many of you know you all have muscles? Some of you can't find them. But you got them. You may have heard this story, but it's funny. I started working out 12 years ago with a trainer. And Dave said, oh, you're not going to do that. You always say you're going to and you never follow through. Well, that was just what I needed. Because that kind of stuff just, I mean, it was the perfect thing for him to say to me. Because I just got that thing in me, don't tell me I can't. And so I went, been working out ever since. Well, after I was working out about 3 months, I'm sitting in a boat one day. Somebody was taking us for a boat ride. I had my feet kind of propped up, and I went to rub the back of my leg, and I felt a knot. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I must have a tumor. I did. I thought I had a tumor. It was this little bump back there, and I thought, oh, my goodness. I felt over here, and I had another one on this leg. It was muscles. I could never feel them before. Am I telling the truth? That is the absolute truth. That's not a preacher story. That's the truth. Well, you should see what's in here now, man. It's like amazing. Okay, but let me tell you. When I started exercising to develop my muscles that I had, but nobody could see. See, you have patience, but maybe nobody can see it. Are you getting this? You have it. It's just that it's not showing up anywhere because it's still weak and wimpy.
I can't do that.
It's too hard. Now, I am telling you the absolute truth. When I first started exercising, because I wasn't just doing like fluff stuff. I mean, I had a trainer and it was, anyway, I was sore for 2 years. I mean, I was sore somewhere for 2 years. I mean, it got to be like my friend because I got to the point where I'm like, man, my body's changing. You know, I actually kind of missed it when I got to the point where I wasn't sore all the time. I kind of thought, well, this isn't doing me any good anymore. And when I first started, I mean, I had this thing happen that was funny, but just ridiculous. I thought I was going to work out at home. I'm going to get this program, and they had this thing where you could go to the gym, and they would teach you for a week, then you go home, work out on your own for 3 weeks. So we got some equipment. We're going to work out at home. So they gave us what was actually two workouts, and we were supposed to trade them off. I say we because Dave decided to go with me, although he'd been working out 55 years. So you're supposed to trade them off. Well, they didn't make that clear, so I did all of it. Never had worked out. I did all of that every day. Well, I had to fall on the toilet and pray to get off. I mean, it was bad. Bad. It was terrible. So when it was taking me an hour and a half. And I went back to the trainer. I said, will I ever get any quicker at this? And he said, well, it should only take you 45 minutes. I said, it's taking me an hour and a half. He said, well, what all are you doing? I said, well, all this stuff. He said, you're doing it all. So I became the joke of the gym. You know, it's like, anyway, enough of that. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm having too much fun here. I don't know. This is just really good. 2 Peter 1:2. Okay. Now these scriptures are so, so amazing. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, for his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite to life and godliness. So God, by his grace and mercy, has given us everything that we need to live an amazing life. Verse 4, by means of these promises, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you might escape by flight from the destruction, the rottenness, and the decay that's in the world. So he said, okay, by grace I'm giving you these promises. so you can have a great life. If you can enact these promises in your life, through them, you will escape from all the junk, nonsense, craziness that's going on in the world. For this reason, here you go. Add your diligence to the divine promises. Employ every effort in what? In what? Come on, you need to look at these scriptures. In what? Your faith to what? Exercising to develop. He said, you make every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy, and in exercising virtue, you will develop knowledge. And in exercising knowledge, you will develop self-control. And in exercising self-control, you will develop steadfastness, which is patience and endurance. And in exercising steadfastness, you will develop godliness. And in exercising godliness, you will develop brotherly affection. And in exercising brotherly affection, you will finally come to the point of walking in Christian love. Awesome is that? Let's go all the way back to the beginning. You are a spirit. Every good thing you need is in your spirit. But it comes in seed form. The Bible says in 1 John that the divine seed of God has been planted in us. Wow. So, actually, the Amplified Bible says the divine sperm of Almighty God has been planted in us. So, and I'm not out of line when I say this, for all intent and purposes, when we're born again, we become pregnant with godliness. Okay? But just like a pregnant woman doesn't show at first. She's not everybody, she's pregnant. Well, you don't look pregnant. Well, you can tell everybody, well, I got saved last week. Well, you don't act any different. Come on, come on. Telling parables here, like Jesus did, okay? I mean, I love to do this sometimes and bring about 8 pregnant women up on the platform and have them stand sideways when they're all at different stages of pregnancy. And see, that's the way we are. We're like, at first nobody can see anything, and then, you know, you get bigger, 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 bigger. And then pretty soon you're like, if I don't have this baby pretty soon, I'm gonna just. And yeah, that's where a lot of you are. You're ready to give birth to something amazing. Come on, are you with me? And the birth coach is the Holy Spirit. And you know what the birth coach says? Push. Breathe. Push. It's a journey, folks. Exercise, develop. Some of you are out there going, say, man, I thought this was a miracle service. In the worship, we sang all those great songs about miracles. Can I tell you something? The changing of a human being is the greatest miracle that you will ever witness in your whole life. Well, you can live by faith and do things with God's help that you never, ever thought that you'd be able to do. God will prove himself strong in your life. Today we're offering you Living Beyond Your Feelings, a book that I've written that covers this whole area of emotions and how to control your soul, and then Winning the Waiting Game. You know, when we're waiting, that's when our soul can act up worse than any other time. And so that's a single CD that we want to send you along with this book, and I believe the resources are going to really help you. Let me tell you, the Word of God is the only hope that we have of seeing permanent change in our life. God's Word has power in it, but you have to receive it, the Bible says, with a spirit of meekness. So don't just think, oh, I don't need that. You need to get the resources, listen to it, read it over and over, and let God do a work in you. God bless you, and thank you for being with us today.